As always, I want to say how much of a privilege it is for me to be here, and I'm thankful for this opportunity to talk to you for just a few moments from God's Word. We've certainly enjoyed the series of meetings that we've had thus far this week, and it's been very edifying to me, and hopefully what I have to say today will be edifying to you as well. Again, if you're a visitor here, I think I'd speak on behalf of the brethren here that we welcome you. Hope that you find the things that we've done thus far have been edifying to you and in accordance to God's will, and the rest of the assembly as well. Today I want to talk about the subject of the pathway of your life. And I want to start out by reading Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 through 14. So you can either read along with me on the screen here or turn with me to the scriptures. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. It says, "Enter ye into the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Now this scripture describes two possible paths that a person could go down in their life. And we all, if we're, you know, of the age to make these types of decisions, have to make that decision. Whether or not we're going to go down one path or another. There are only two options. You're either on the broad path, which leads to destruction, or you're on the straight and narrow path, which leads to life. I want you to imagine that you're standing at a crossroads and you have a choice, and we have a choice at any moment which path we're going to be on. Whether or not we're going to go down the one path, the straight and narrow way, which perhaps we look at this path and we think, well, you know, it's narrow. You can't always see everything that's going to be on the path. You know, the path is difficult perhaps, but we know that it's going to lead us to where we want to go. And of course, we understand the metaphor that we want to be on that straight and narrow path, the kind of path, the Christian life that God wants us to live so that we can end up with God forever in heaven. But you've got this choice on one side, and over here you've got a wider path, a broader way, one that has some ups and downs, that has some difficulties along the way, but at times it may be easier to go down. It's smoother, it's wide, it's more widely traveled, but you know that that's not going to lead you where you want to go. So you have to make that choice. Are you going to go down the straight and narrow way, which perhaps may be difficult at times, but can be very rewarding, and it will eventually lead you to where you want to go, or are you going to go down the wide path, the path that's going to lead to destruction? Hopefully, you'll have made the decision to live the Christian life, to walk with God, to go down the straight and narrow way. Because although the broad path may be wide, in the end, you don't want to go where that's leading. And even though it may be difficult at times to go down the straight and narrow path, you should realize and know, and hopefully you do know, that the end is well worth it. The destination is where you want to be when the end of your life comes. I want to talk in the first part of the sermon for just a few moments about the commitment that you would need to make to walk down that straight and narrow way. Now, if you're not a Christian today and haven't started walking down that path, you haven't received salvation, you need to understand that it's a commitment to lead a Christian life. There are certain things you're going to have to do if you're going to walk down that path. And as you do so, it may be difficult at times, but the reward at the end is going to be worth it. I want to start out by talking about some of those obstacles, or some of the commitments, I should say, that you would need to make if you haven't really made that decision. If you haven't decided whether or not to walk down that narrow path and live the Christian life. One thing the Bible tells you need to do if you're going to make the commitment to live a Christian life and walk down that straight and narrow way is you must be willing to realize that the path that you're on is not the path you need to be on. You need to be willing to get off of that path and start walking down the straight and narrow way to repent of your sins. Acts chapter 3, verse 19, we read earlier this week, it says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, that the times of refreshing shall come from the presence," or when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. He tells us we have to be willing to repent. And we talked about earlier, and we'll reiterate again, what it means to repent. It's a word which means, according to Strong's Greek definitions, to think differently or afterwards. To change the way that we view something. To change the way that we think about something. In this case, we're changing the way that we think about the way that we view sin. You know, a lot of times we have a worldly view of sin which marginalizes it, which says that it's not that important. It doesn't really matter what we do. But God doesn't look at it that way, and the Bible doesn't describe it that way. It's a very serious thing to God to disobey His commands, do things that we shouldn't do, and not do things that we should, to fall short of God's glory. We need to look at sin from a biblical standpoint, view it the way God views it, in which God cannot stand to have sin in His presence. And when we have that change of heart and mind and view towards sin, that should lead to a change in actions, in which we strive daily to remove sin from our life and live that godly life, to stay on that godly path, even though it may not always be easy. But it's necessary to be willing to cease from sin and do God's will if we want to reach that destination, to repent of our sins. 1 Peter 4, verses 1 through 4, describes some of the sacrifices you would need to make in order to do that. It says, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. They no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may have sufficed us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, and abominable idolatries. Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you." This passage tells us that we need to be like Christ. We need to stop sinning, remove sin from our life. He says the time past in our life was enough when we did those evil things, when we wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we did all the evil things that he mentions. Now we need to stop. We need to cease from sin. And when we do that, that can be difficult, especially when it comes to the relationships that we had with the people we used to run with. He says people we used to run with through the same excess of riot may think that we're strange. They may even speak evil of you. And that's something difficult to deal with. But it's part of the commitment which you must be willing to make in order to serve God and reach that final destination. To repent of your sins. To strive to cease from sin daily. To walk down that straight and narrow way. Which kind of leads into the next point. Another commitment which we must be willing to make as Christians is to not only remove the sin from our life and stop sinning, but fill our life with the Christian walk, with the Christian life, doing godly things, doing God's will in our lives. 1 Timothy 6, verse 11 says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." He tells us the different things, part of the different things that we need to be willing to do as Christians. We need to live the Christian life. You know, I think sometimes people get the idea of Christianity as being, well, and whether or not they realize this or not or say it out loud, I go to church on Sundays. I make sure that I, you know, take the communion, that I go through the things in the assembly. Then I go on my way and I'm done for the week. That's it. That's my Christianity. But that's not what Christianity is all about, is it? It's not about just going through the basic motions of the things that we might think of as being more basic and the main things we might think a lot of times as part of Christianity, but it's a lifestyle. It's about living a godly life, day in, day out, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, all throughout the week. In everything we do, giving glory to God, making sure we're doing God's will in all that we do. And that's a commitment. It takes that commitment in order to be pleasing to God, to repent of our sins. We must be willing to give ourselves over to Him, to live that godly life. That's not always an easy thing to do. It's rewarding a lot of times, but we must be willing to make that commitment. So, the question may arise, well, how do we know how to live a godly life? How are we going to know what we need to do and the things that we need to do? Thankfully, God has given us His Word. Again, that guidebook, a guide to show us the way to go and the things that we need to do. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 through 17 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works." It says the Scripture is profitable for all those things, for showing us the way that we need to live our life, to correct the things, for teaching us things, for reproving us, for instructing us in righteousness. He says that the man of God may be perfect or complete. You see, we have everything we need to know how to live a godly Christian life contained within the Scriptures. and we have godly principles that we can apply to situations in our life. If we'll study them out, and if we'll be willing to seek them and follow those things in our life, we have a guidebook to follow. You must be willing to commit yourself to doing God's will. The final commitment that you need to be willing to make to walk down that straight and narrow way, you must be willing to commit yourself to preaching God's word to others. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20, gives us the Great Commission. And I'm going to talk about this a little bit in more detail tonight, actually. Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." So not only must we be willing to remove sin from our lives, if we're going to walk down that straight and narrow way, to repent of our sins, to start living a godly life and fill our life with godliness, we must be willing to preach God's word to others as well, so that others can know about the forgiveness of sins that comes through the shed blood of Christ. So we can be willing to preach that and tell others, to be evangelistic in our lives. Sometimes that's not always an easy thing to do, but it's a commitment which the Bible tells us something we must be willing to do as Christians. And we could talk in more detail about different aspects of the Christian life, but I want you to realize that if you walk down that straight and narrow way, it's not always easy. But there are commitments you must be willing to make. But again, the destination, the reward, is well worth the toils that we have here below. Many of you are Christians tonight or today and have already started walking down that straight and narrow way. I want to talk to you about your walk as well, the pathway that you're on. And I want you to consider that many times as we walk along that pathway, there are obstacles in our way that would cause us to sin. We're walking on a pathway of life. We realize that we need to walk with God. Sometimes there are things in our way that would cause us to stumble, stumbling blocks, if you will, in our pathway. And I want to talk about a few of those stumbling blocks or our reactions to stumbling blocks that we might face on our Christian walk. A stumbling block is defined in different ways in the Bible, but the basic idea of a stumbling block is anything that will cause us to stumble or trip. In a spiritual sense, a lot of times I would consider a spiritual stumbling block to be anything that would cause us to stumble spiritually, to trip or to get off that path. Temptations that we face. And we all face these stumbling blocks. The Bible talks about stumbling blocks in Ezekiel 14 and different places. But basically, any temptation or anything that will cause us to stumble along our pathway is a stumbling block for us. And we need to be able to get past those stumbling blocks spiritually and overcome them and continue on that path. And our goal should be to not stumble when we encounter those things. So I want to talk about that today. How to get past the stumbling blocks that we might face spiritually without stumbling. Now, I don't know the specific stumbling blocks that you have in your life, but we all have them. I don't think anyone would say that we don't have any temptations. And whereas the Christian life may present for us less stumbling blocks than not being on that Christian path, and over time, hopefully those things will decrease, everybody faces certain temptations. I don't think anyone here would say they don't have some things that cause them or that would want to cause them to stumble. Certain temptations that you face. And the stumbling blocks that you have may not be the same for me. So I want you to consider for yourselves. Think about your own stumbling blocks. Think about the temptations that you faced in your life. And as we talk about ways to get past these stumbling blocks without stumbling, I want you to personalize it for yourself and think about ways that you personally can get over the temptations and the stumbling blocks that you face in the life that you have. Because everyone has different stumbling blocks. Whether it be fornication, whether it be gossiping, whether it be drunkenness, whatever it is that you struggle with, consider that as we think about these things. I want you to imagine that you're walking down the pathway of your life. You're walking along this path, and as you're walking along, striving to do God's will, striving to be a good Christian, you encounter certain stumbling blocks on the way. And you're walking along the path, and imagine this, and you come across a log in your way. This stumbling block which would cause you to trip over it. You look at this log and it's a big tree that's fallen on the pathway there. You realize it's going to be really hard for you to get over that log. You think about what you can do to get past it
Then you realize the path is wide enough for you to avoid that log altogether, for you to go around that stumbling block, and in that way you can overcome the temptation to stumble. And that's the way that we can do with our temptations and stumbling blocks a lot of times, especially if we can't overcome our stumbling blocks, is to avoid those temptations altogether. But in order to do that, we have to first be able to see and recognize what our stumbling blocks are. They're not always easy for us to see. Not always easy for us to recognize. John chapter 11, verses 9 through 10. John 11, 9 through 10 says, Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him." Now Jesus here, the situation may be different than what we're talking about specifically today, but he gives us a general principle which is true and I think which applies in this way when we think about our own stumbling blocks. The general principle, if you can see the path that you're on, you can see the things that would cause you to stumble. Whereas if it's nighttime, if it's dark and you can't see those things, sometimes they can creep up unawares and you won't be able to see them, you won't be able to recognize them. And that's the way sin can be for us in our lives. Sin can blind our hearts and minds to being able to recognize and see the stumbling blocks in our spiritual path. We must be able and willing to train our hearts and minds to recognize the things that cause us to stumble, the temptations that we face. And we can do that by studying God's Word. Psalms 119 verse 105 says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So if we study God's Word, we can use it to shine upon our path and be able to recognize the things that would cause us to stumble spiritually. Because all too often, I think we stumble upon them before we even realize almost that they're there. And that's the way sin can be. Whenever we were living, my wife and I think we were living in Oklahoma City at the time, and in 2010, in January, it was snowing one day, and we were out going to a store, and we went into this store, and it snowed some on our way there, and we went in, we came back out later, and it snowed quite a bit while we were in there, so the snow was pretty thick, and we were heading towards our destination. I think we might have been heading home. Anyways, we were in a big parking lot, and Emily told me, when you're driving in a parking lot that's covered with snow like this, you got to be careful because sometimes there are curbs in the parking lot that you can't see because the snow kind of covers it up and it all looks the same. You won't be able to see those things. And I told her, you know, okay, that's fine, but I knew the parking lot that we were in and there weren't any curbs in that parking lot. And I could drive anywhere I wanted to in that parking lot. I wouldn't hit a curb because there wasn't a curb in there. Anyway, we were driving along towards the street and we got closer and closer. And Emily said, "There's a curb right there." Before I had a time to see it, bam, we ran right into the curb. I ran over it, shook us up, the car was okay, we were okay, you know, which is lucky because I've hit curbs before and it's done some damage. This time it didn't do any damage. But I didn't see it because the snow had blinded me to that stumbling block in my path. I should have listened to my wife, but I also should have been able to recognize and see the things, recognize that I need to be careful because the snow can cover my path and I can't always see the stumbling blocks in my way. And that's true in a spiritual sense as well. The darkness of sin can blind us. We can't always see the things in our path that would cause us to stumble. We must be willing to use the light of God's Word to shine upon our path so that we can recognize and see those things that would trip us up. And then once we do that, especially if we can't overcome it, we must be willing to avoid them. The Bible tells us in Romans 13, verse 13 through 14, "Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ to make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." So what is he saying here? He says we need to walk according to God's will. We need to live the Christian life. And we need not provide for ourselves opportunities to fulfill the lust of the flesh. We need to avoid providing for ourselves opportunities to sin. And that's what they had done in the book of Ezekiel. If you want to read back there, verses 1 through 8, he talks about how they had placed the stumbling block of their iniquity before their faces. They had set themselves up for failure. Instead of avoiding the stumbling blocks in their life, they set those things before them so that they would stumble over them. And that's the exact opposite of what this verse indicates, the attitude we need to have. Don't provide for ourselves opportunities to sin, but especially if we can't overcome them, avoid those opportunities. We need to eschew that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, avoid the stumbling blocks that we face until we can get to the point where we can overcome them. Now that may mean that I'm going to have to make difficult decisions. That may mean that I'm going to have to do things that are perhaps I might consider to be inconvenient. We think about some of the classic examples. That may mean that if I have a problem with drunkenness, I need to go a different route home so that I don't pass by the bar that's on the way and be tempted to sin in that way. It may mean that if I have a problem with fornication, I'm going to have to make difficult decisions to remove the source of that temptation from my life. It's not going to be easy necessarily. It may mean that I have to stop associating with certain people. Now that may be a pretty drastic measure. To stop hanging out with friends who I maybe have a good friendship with, but if they're a temptation for me or they do things that cause me to be tempted and I can't overcome that, it may be good for me to avoid those friendships, to cut off those ties, at least for a while, until I'm become more spiritually minded, able to reconcile and help them as well. And that can be a very difficult thing to do. I may have to make difficult choices. But in the end, all the friendships that I may enjoy, all the conveniences that you might have in your life, and all the pleasures of life, if they cause you to sin, the whole world is not worth your soul. It's more important for you to serve God, to live that Christian life, and not get stray off that straight and narrow path than it is for you to enjoy certain friendships and conveniences in your life here below in the time that you have. You must be willing to avoid those stumbling blocks, even making hard decisions to do so if you can't overcome it. Which brings us to the next point. I want you to imagine that you're walking back down your pathway of life and you come across another stumbling block in front of you. And this time it takes the form of a kind of a bear trap. You know, they had the metal teeth and the spring action and this bear steps on it, clamps down on his leg. Imagine that you come across one of those and you see it in your pathway and it's kind of covered up by some leaves, so it's a little bit hidden, but you trained your heart and mind to be able to recognize that stumbling block in front of you. How are you going to get past it without getting caught in that trap? Now, you may think, well, I'll just go around it just like I did with the log. But in this metaphor, the path is too narrow for you to be able to do it. You can't avoid it. How are you going to get past it? Realize that you can take a stick and have it spring that trap. Have it clamp down on that trap or that stick so that it isn't able to clamp down on you. Neutralize the situation. Make that stumbling block no longer able to make you stumble by overcoming it. And really, that should be our goal, shouldn't it, as Christians? Not only to necessarily avoid our stumbling blocks, but overcome those things. Get to the point where they're no longer temptations for us. So you may say, okay, well, that's fine. How am I going to do that? Well, I think part of it is that you must be willing to remove sin from your life and get in the habit of being spiritual and replacing the ungodly things in your life with a godly spiritual response. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 29. Ephesians 4, 22 through 29. Here, starting in verse 22, you can turn along with me or you can read up on the board as well. Says, starting in verse 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So he describes the process here, whereby we put off the old man and put on the new man. A spiritual transformation, if you will. In times past, we wrought the will of the Gentiles. We did those evil things. Now, we no longer do those things, and we replace that with a godly spiritual response. And notice how when he describes this, the things that they put off are kind of equal to the things that they put on are very similar. He says if you have a problem with lying, stop lying, but speak the truth. If you have a problem with stealing, stop stealing and start working so that you can give. If you have a problem with corrupt communication proceeding out of your mouth, speak with that which is good, the use of edifying. You see, we need to get in the habit of replacing the ungodly things in our lives with a good, godly, spiritual response. I encourage you to think about your stumbling blocks, the temptations that you face, and how you can stop doing those things and things that you can replace and fill the void in your life with. And once we get in the habit of doing that, once we do that more and more and more, just as with any habit, it'll become easier and easier and easier over time. Why? Because habits are easier the more we do it. We're getting in the habit of being a spiritual person. The more we grow spiritually, the more we do God's word and will in our life, the stronger we'll be spiritually. The easier it'll be for us to overcome the temptations that we face, and hopefully we can get to the point where many of our temptations, we can overcome them altogether. Because we've made an effort to become a spiritual person. Romans 8, 1 through 9, which we'll not read for the sake of time, talks about walking in according to the Spirit, minding the things of the Spirit rather than the things of the flesh. And we need to be willing to do that, to walk according to God's will in spiritual matters, to mind and think about spiritual things rather than carnal things. And again, the more we do that, the easier it will be to overcome. And as Ephesians 4, or Galatians 5, verse 16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." If you use the tools that God has given you in His Word, studying godly things, learning things such as faith, patience, perseverance, and using the godly tools and principles that God has given you in His Word to become more and more spiritual, it'll become easier and easier to overcome those temptations and stumbling blocks that you face. Finally, I want you to imagine that you're back on your pathway of life. And you've walked along and you try to stay on that straight and narrow way, but you encounter another stumbling block in front of you. It's a little different than the others. This stumbling block is like a wall in your path. And you come up to this wall and you realize it's going to be hard to get over this. You reach up and it's just a little bit too high for you to be able to climb over. You can't tunnel underneath it. You can't drill through it. You look as far as you can to the right. The wall keeps on going. You look as far as you can to the left. It keeps on going that way. Think, how am I going to get past this stumbling block? You know, I think at all times we all face stumbling blocks like this, like walls in our path, things that we struggle with again and again and again. And just like that wall, we keep banging our heads on the wall over and over and over again, just can't seem to get past it. And it may be something that you have something in your life that's like that. Something that you struggle with. A sin problem that you've made efforts again and again to overcome and get past, and you just can't seem to shake it. Just like that wall in your way. How are you going to get over it? How are you going to get past that stumbling block and continue on that straight and narrow way? I want you to consider that in this metaphor, you may have imagined yourself walking alone down that pathway. But the truth is, you're not alone. You have your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to help you. And although you may not be able to get over that wall on your own, you can stand on the shoulders of your brother or sister and give you the boost that you need to help you overcome it. See, our brethren are an amazing blessing given from God to help us overcome the things that we struggle with, that the temptations and stumbling blocks that we face in our lives. Your brethren want to help you overcome whatever it is that you're facing. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you at your spiritual restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." You see, your brethren want to help you. When you're overtaken in a fault, when you have a stumbling block that you just can't seem to get past, your brethren want to restore you. They want to help you. They want to be there for you. That's a great blessing that God has given you for you to take advantage of. And it may be that's the only thing, those are the one thing that can help you get past whatever it is that you're facing. We should be willing and able to lean upon one another in times of trouble.
Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 through 10 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. You see, we can help each other. We can assist each other. We can help one another get past the things that would cause us to stumble and overcome those things. One great way of doing that is by being accountable to someone and having others keep you accountable. And I encourage you. You know, there's been times in my life where I've struggled with things, and it's a great blessing to have someone to be accountable to, someone who can help me, someone who can encourage me. If you're struggling with something, consider finding someone in your life who you trust, who's a spiritual person, who can hold you accountable, who can pray with you and for you, who can help you, who you can confide in. Because that's a great and wonderful blessing. And in the end, even though our brethren are amazingly helpful in helping us overcome the things that we struggle with and face in our life, whatever it is that God will provide for us to help us overcome it, we need to realize that we can overcome it. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 through 13, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. You see, no matter what it is that you're facing in your life, no matter how many times you struggle with whatever temptation or stumbling block you may be facing, you don't have to sin. You can overcome it. You can get past it with the help of God. God will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able, but He'll make a way of escape so that you can bear it. But you need to search for that way of escape. You need to find the way that you can overcome it and get past it. It may be that you need to make a difficult decision and avoid that stumbling block in your life. Or perhaps you feel like you can't do that. It's like that wall that's in your way. Use your brethren to help you. Perhaps they're what you need to get over and past it. Perhaps you need to study God's Word and use the tools God has given you to help you live a spiritual life. Asking God to help you in prayer and being willing to daily search His Scriptures and do His will. But whatever that way of escape may be, and perhaps it's a combination of those things, whatever it may be, take advantage of it and find it and use it. If you're not willing to do that, perhaps you won't be able to get past that stumbling block without stumbling. Search for the way of escape and be willing to do what it takes to obey God and stay on that narrow path without stumbling, because you simply don't have to sin. God will provide a way of escape. He'll provide a way for you to overcome whatever it is that you're facing in your life. As we conclude this morning, hopefully I've encouraged you, if you're not a Christian, to walk down that narrow path. It takes commitment, and it's sometimes difficult for you to live a Christian life. There are great rewards. There's great joy from living a Christian life, and we can enjoy that joy while we're down here below, and we have a hope of a home in heaven, which makes the journey all the more worth it. But there are commitments that you must be willing to make, and I encourage you to make those commitments if you're not a Christian. Take the first steps down that pathway which will lead to eternal life and the destination that you want to go to. The Bible makes it clear what you must do in order to be saved. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You're willing to repent of your sins, turn and live your life after Him, confess His name before this audience of people, and be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. You can have that hope. You can start your journey down that pathway, which leads to life eternal. A great blessing which you can take advantage of today. Now, if you are a Christian and you're walking along that pathway, and there's something that you're struggling with, some kind of sin problem, some kind of temptation that you have in your life that you, like that wall, keep hitting again and again and again, we want to help you. We want to pray with you and for you. We want to encourage you. It may be that we are what you need. We are the way of escape for you to help you get past that stumbling block. Take advantage of your brethren who are there for you, care about you, and want to lift you up before God in prayer, want to encourage you. We can do that today. We want to do that for you if that's what you need today. We can pray with you and for you. We can hold you accountable if that's what you need and help you walk down that pathway. Because we're all in this together. We're all striving to reach that goal of eternal life. Take advantage of the blessing that you have and your brethren to help you
whenever you struggle with those things, we can assist you this morning. So we offer those invitations. If you wish to become a child of God and take the first steps down that pathway, which leads to life, or you wish to seek the prayers of the church this morning, come forward and have a seat in the front row as we stand to sing the song that's been selected.